I remember way back when I was in school, of course, homeschooled. But I finished my third grade, especially math was difficult for me. When I got to fourth grade, I couldn't do it. And after a few days of trying fourth grade, Mom went and got out the third grade books for me again. I did them all a second time. And I think that that happens to a lot of people in the spiritual life. I've heard a lot of talk, and it's very good, it's very true, that in life, many times, when you think you're going through something again, you're just in the same, you're just in math again, but in a new grade. It's not the same thing. You're learning new things. But at the same time, there's other times where we have to go back a grade. Both happen. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about going back a grade. Sometimes you have to go back a grade and relearn some things you once learned to be able to finish the new grade that you are in now. Maybe you are dealing with lust that you once got a victory over. Maybe you're dealing with pride in an area that you used to have victory. Maybe you hate somebody that you used to love. Or you're bitter towards somebody that you used to love. You have hard feelings. There's all kinds of things that somebody here might be in that it used to be different. It used to be better. And I'm going to talk about going back a grade. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, I just pray that your word especially would sink into our hearts this morning. Father, you'd help me to be faithful to it and use it correctly. That we'd all be edified this morning. Amen. Why don't you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8, and I'm going to read, I'm pretty sure I'm going to just read the whole chapter. We have in Genesis chapter 8 the beginning of the story of Jacob. I can't read to you the whole story because it's several chapters long. Then after Genesis chapter 8, we have some other passages in chapter 34 and 35. But Genesis chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. No, I guess this isn't the chapter that I need to read the whole thing. But I don't have it written out exactly what I need. So let me just read the whole thing anyway. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he had blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! There is none other, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. We were to read back in 27 earlier chapters, we would find the story of his mother's scheme to get Jacob the blessing rather than Esau. And he obeyed that scheme. He pretended to be his brother and got his father to bless him when his father thought he was blessing Esau. Then he leaves home to sojourn in another country for fear of his brother, because his brother planned to kill him. And on his way out, he stops at a place, Bethel. And there he has the dream, famous dream about the ladder to heaven. And there he made promises to the God of his fathers. And for the first time, the God of his fathers became his God. I see a young boy leaving home. And this is in this culture, we don't know, but maybe even the heathen ideas had crept into his mind a little bit. The heathen gods were the god of places. You had the gods of the valleys, the gods of the mountains. It could easily have been that when Jacob was leaving home, he had this fear, feeling like he's running away from the God of his fathers. Especially the fact that he just stole something of his brother and he's running away for fear for his life. But God meets him in Bethel. Tells him, In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And here, the God of his parents, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, became his God. But then he lived a number of years with Laban. And in staying with Laban, he got him wives and sons. He got him sheep and goats. Many possessions. After a few years there, he left to go on his way. And his wife Rachel, if you remember, brought with her her father's idols. And on his way back, we remember again the story when he met with God and they wrestled all night. The Bible speaks of Jacob as being a prince, for he wrestled with God and prevailed. And he had his name changed to Israel. And then as we read the story, we see him traveling around from this place to that. Now one place he lighted upon a certain city, and his daughter Dinah went to visit the daughters of the land. And ended up going to the city and losing her virginity And her brothers, being angry, worked this whole scheme that got the whole city to be circumcised, and so that, and then after 3 days, two brothers went in and slew the whole city. And then Jacob says, the whole place is going to want to kill me. You've caused me to stink. I'm going to read some of these verses, part of this story. Genesis chapter 34, the first verse. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And we skip to verse 25. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? So just step back and look at this picture. We see Jacob fleeing from his brother. He's in distress for fear for his life. He lays down on the stones with a stone for his pillow, and God meets him there at Bethel. But as the years go by, he gets himself a family. And we look at his family and we see a lot of things that are not very godly. A lot of things that we can say aren't living up to that promise, even that he made himself at Bethel when he said, then shall the Lord be my God. I guess it was true for him. But it wasn't true for all of his family. We see these problems with Dinah, with his sons, with her relationships with these people. And that Rachel had brought the gods of her father. Genesis 35, verse 1. Right after this story, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. And dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak that was by Shechem. What has come into your life since the time that you first made promises to God till today? God says to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. He was in distress when his brother was chasing him, and now he fears the whole land of Canaan. And he must go back to the place where God met him the first time. I think this can be the experience of every single one of us in at least a few areas. I look into my own heart and I see struggles. Struggles with lust. They keep coming back at random times every time the devil thinks he can get me to fall. And every time, I have to go back to the same place I got victory last time. I have to humble myself before God and men. And call for help by the hands of grace and mercy. And just a side note. There's a lot of people that refuse to be helped by men. They think it's spiritual to accept nothing that doesn't come direct from the hand of God, they say. But many a time God sends His help by the hand of a man, and if you reject that help, you might just have rejected the help God sent. So be careful in that matter. But go back to the place where you once had victory. Does your flesh control where the Spirit used to? Do you hate people you used to love? Is your heart hard where it used to be soft? Have you given up standards you once held? Have you quit going to church regularly? Have you quit praying regularly? Do you no longer read your Bible? Have you allowed idols into your life that you got rid of once before? I look back in my life and I see things that I gave up not because they were wrong, but because of the life that God was calling me to, they had no place any longer. What about your trucks and your cars and your snowmobiles and your dirt bikes? What about your boyfriend or your girlfriend? What about that sport you like to play or your pastimes? What about your hobbies? What about food? What about sleep? Have these things become your gods? Are they your idols that you live for? And I'm especially talking to you if it's something you've dealt with before and you're dealing with it again. The Bible has some interesting things. It tells us not to be a glutton. And it tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a balance on these things. Somewhere between idolizing food and being a glutton, and the error on the other side is a road down the middle. Don't be a glutton, yet taste and see that the Lord is good. Walk that road. The Bible says that if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Yet, I've seen many a young man in a relationship that totally drained him because he idolized a person. Find that middle road. Walk it. Paul uses running a race as an illustration of the Christian life, and he talks about laying aside every weight as a man running a race. You don't go to a race and run with extra stuff that you don't need. And in the same way, those sports and those hobbies, the things that you don't need, need to be laid aside. But it's interesting that even his illustration itself is running. And he tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little. Somewhere, there is a middle road. Walk that road. Throughout the Bible, the people that slumber and sleep are rebuked very heartily. Yet, one of the most prevalent promises of God is rest to His people. Somewhere, there's a middle road. Walk that road. But don't let these things become your idols. What about that dreamland you used to live in? Spending all your time in a dreamland. Finally decided it wasn't right and needed to live in reality. Are you living there again? What about that relationship you used to dream of day and night till you finally decided you needed to live in reality? Are you dreaming again? Have you lost your first love? We need to remember, you may start with a good start, but that doesn't mean you'll finish with a good finish. And you may start with a poor start and still finish with a good finish. Remember, John Mark was the man that Paul and Silas split over. Paul said he wasn't worth taking along with them. Or Paul and Barnabas, sorry. Yet later on, Paul says, John Mark is useful for me in the ministry. Remember Saul. He started as king, hiding himself among the stuff because of his humility. And he finished causing David, a man better than himself, to hide in the mountains because of his pride. So what was the problem with Saul? Was the problem that he fell into sin? And I'm not going to downplay sin and say that sin's not a problem, but that wasn't his big problem. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16 that a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Saul's problem was that when he started failing in his grade, he refused to go back a grade. He refused to go back a grade. And that's my exhortation to you. When you start failing in the grade you are in, go back a grade. Humble yourself to go back a grade. It's not fun going back in school. Sometimes we have to. God sent Jacob back to Bethel at a time in his life when he was very discouraged because of the situation he was in with that city. And there's another man that we find in the New Testament that also went back, and Jesus had to call him back to his calling again. And that's Peter. Peter went back because he was also discouraged. If we read in Matthew chapter 4, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I have them written here. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's the beginning of Peter's calling. And we see Peter following Christ around for 3 years in the ministry. But I want to read most of the chapter of John chapter 21. All the way through to verse 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus called to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken, he saith unto him, Follow me. Really, Peter? Fishing? Have you forgotten your calling? Fishing isn't wrong. In fact, you might remember the story. Jesus sent Peter to go fishing. Peter was the one that he said, Hey, go take a line and cast it into the sea and catch a fish, and then in the fish's mouth you'll find the money for our taxes. Jesus sent Peter fishing. He never made a vow and say, I'll never go fishing again. It wasn't that he broke a vow. It's not that fishing is wrong. But why was he fishing? Peter was discouraged. He thought that Christ was going to set up a kingdom then. But Christ was crucified. He thought that he was going to reign under Christ. But Christ died. He had misunderstood his calling at the first time. So when Christ died, he thought it was over. Okay. And in discouragement, he says, Well, I still know how to fish. I'll go back to fishing. His friends come with him, and they go back to fishing. They toil all night, and they don't catch anything until Jesus comes there in the morning and tells them to cast it on the right side. Just like that, they catch 153 fish. So you may spend your time mountain biking, rock climbing, pleasure reading, on the internet, on the YouTube, playing ball. And I'm not going to say these things are wrong. But follow the storyline of Peter and compare your life to him. Why did Peter go fishing? And why are you doing what you do? Have you forgotten your calling? Peter went fishing because he'd given up his calling. Is that not why you do what you do? Do you not go mountain biking because Christianity has no adventure for you anymore? It's not wrong to go mountain biking. Sometimes it's a good thing. Maybe you go rock climbing because the The adrenaline you get is like a drug. And there's nothing in Christ to make you happy anymore. Why? That's the question I'm asking you. I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm asking you, is it possible that you are wrong? Pleasure reading? Because you don't feel that prayer works anymore? You have no faith to pray? So you find some novel and read it instead? You spend your time on the internet because you have no love for good books anymore? You spend your time on YouTube because the Bible is dry to you? Playing ball or some other sport because you've given up hope that preaching the gospel will do any good? What's your calling? What has God called you to? I look back on my own life, and I see many times when I was lukewarm according to the calling that I believe God has called me to. In the year 2009, I probably hardly told 10 people the gospel. And that's pretty sad for a man called to be an evangelist. I had to go back to my calling. I had to remember what I believe God had called me to do and go back. Go back. Jesus came to Peter when Peter went back to fishing, and Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Remember the calling I called you to? Go back. Go back." And Jesus comes to you today, and to some of you he says the same thing. Some of you he says, "Feed my sheep." Peter, feed my sheep. To others, he says, remake that commitment. Renew those vows. Return to the Bible. Resume the fight. Pick up your sword again. Take courage. Back to war. Remember Elijah? "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What doest thou here, Elijah? That's the question for you. What do you do here? Is there a place you need to go back to? Have you left the war? Have you left the fight? Have you left the battle? Have you left your calling? To everyone, Jesus comes and he says, "Be an ambassador. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Love the brethren, seek the lost. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Follow me." Have you lost the fire you once had? Have you quit doing the things that you once started for God? Do you no longer care about saving souls? Have you quit doing the first works? Maybe you need to go back a grade and take some tests again. Remember, even going back a grade is a new step forward in life. I never would have made it through fourth grade if I hadn't done third grade twice. Why? Because I just didn't get it the first time. Sometimes that's the case for us. So, what about those resolutions you made? What about the Keith Daniel meetings a few years back when you made God those promises? Did you keep them? Go back. Go back. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just pray You'd be with each one of us here today. Help us to think honestly about these questions. Give us the strength and the courage to go back in any way that we have to. Amen.